Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 and verse 23, the little portion here about Moses. And again, I remind you that Hebrews 11 is all about faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. And it's very important to understand that, very important to realize that really that is the complete context of Hebrews 11. We often call it a hall of faith, all the different people that God says, these people had faith, they trusted God, they believed God. And the thing I like, though, and I don't know that I've ever preached on this, is here in Hebrews 11, where it says, seeing him who is invisible. And again, in the context, by faith. Well, how can I see him who is invisible? Well, you see him by faith. And Hebrews 11, verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. And again, you'll notice in verse 27, he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Seeing him who is invisible. Now, I really believe this, that you and I can endure, and I don't even like the term endure. I use it because the Bible does here. I'd rather enjoy than endure. We can actually enjoy our Christianity, but you're going to have to see him who is invisible. You're not going to make it. We are not going to make it in this old world the way it's going unless we see him who is invisible. And I want to help you with that tonight. A very simple message right before we have the Lord's Supper. I do want to challenge you tonight with the idea that the Bible says we are to examine ourselves. We are to let God look at us, and by that, whatever he points out that may not be right in our lives, we are to get it right before we have the Lord's Supper. It's very, very clear in the Scripture. And so I would encourage you to let God speak to your heart tonight and just clean everything up and to realize we need to see him who is invisible. Father, I pray you bless the preaching tonight. I do thank you for a great day, a great week this past week. So many wonderful victories. And Father, we're tired. We really, many are exhausted from the last couple of weeks. And yet, we need to see you who is invisible. And I pray that you help us to do that tonight. With the eyes of faith, may we open them tonight in a way we've never opened them. May we see you in a way we've never seen you. May we realize it could be day after day after day that we see you, and therefore that we go on and we do whatever it is you want us to do. Please bless and prepare us for the Lord's Supper. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Moses, probably next to Jesus, is the greatest leader of men that has ever existed. What a great leader. What an amazing leader. All the things that he went through in that. And of course, his heritage was a heritage of faith. The Bible says in verse 23, by faith, Moses, when he was born, well, I don't think that's talking about his faith. I think it's talking about his parents' faith. He had a great heritage of parents that had faith. They hid him for 3 months, and we know the story how that he was hidden, and then he was put as a little baby, he was put in a little basket, and God worked all that out. And I don't have time to get into the whole story there, but he had a great heritage of faith, by faith. Mom and dad, are you passing on faith to your kids? Grandma and grandpa, do you pass on faith to the grandkids? Do you show faith? Do you show that, hey, I believe God. I really believe God. And so Moses had a great heritage, so it only made sense that verse 24, then by faith Moses, when he was come to years. So he grew up in a home of parents that had faith, and now when he has come to years, what's that mean? That means now he has his own choices to make. And you know the story, he is raised in Egypt, he is raised in Pharaoh's household because of how God preserved him and kept him alive. But yet when it came time for him to decide, the Bible says by faith, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He refused. He knew who his mother was. And again, God had really let her have a huge part in his life. And he refused. He made that choice. And so the Bible now is talking about choices. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, verse 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. His people are slaves. He could have stayed in Pharaoh's household and he could have been the ruler. Instead, he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God. Wait, what was the choice? Oh, then to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. That's a tough choice for a guy to make, honestly. Come on. You know, we all say, well, bless God, that's what I would have done. No, you haven't. We fail in that area so many times. But again, it all starts off with by faith. Hey, young person, if you're going to do right, you're going to have to have faith. You're going to have to trust God. Mom and dad, if we're going to do right, we're going to have faith. We're going to have to trust God. And no matter who you are tonight, you're going to find out that to make the right choices, you're going to have to believe God and trust Him. You're going to have to trust Him. And sometimes it looks like, wow, I'm choosing affliction and the result of that, and I'm choosing that over the pleasure that I could have from sin. But you know, when you make that choice, you're knowing that the pleasure of sin is just a season. And choosing God's way is eternal. So he made those choices. Again, had a good heritage, grew up living by faith, and then kept going as he got old enough and started making his own decisions. In fact, verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. He looked at the treasures in Egypt, but he saw the reproach of Christ. He saw believing in the Lord. He saw and he made his choice. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Again, one is temporal. The other is eternal. How do you know that, preacher? How do you know that? By faith. That's how we know it. You know, the world offers this and the world offers pleasure. The world may offer money and prestige and fame and all those kind of things. And oh, how much fun the world offers. And you look at it and say, wow, that looks good. But by faith, I know that's not going to last. And by faith, I know that choosing God's way for me, that's eternal. Those are eternal riches. You chose that tonight by coming to church on Sunday night. You know, you could have stayed in bed. You know, your nap could have gone into evening and then into night and just had a nice long nap, right? And you could have chosen that. But you looked at eternal versus temporal and you made a choice. And you do that because honestly, how do you know there's anything eternal? Well, because God said so. Because in my Father's house are many mansions. He told us that. But how do we know that? We know it by faith. And so he's by faith making these decisions. In verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Again, the wrath of the king could mean death. Could mean death. Well, wait a minute. But to Moses, that's just life. Have we reached that point in our lives where we recognize that death is life? Now, I'm not telling you to go run out in front of a truck. I'm not saying to go out and provoke some Muslim with their machete. I'm not telling you to do. I'm just saying, have we come to the place in our lives where we realize that death is life? Because with Moses, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. How could he do it? By faith? And then it comes to, for he endured. He went through it all. He went through the life of a slave. He went through that portion. He became became an Israelite, a slave, and he pushed aside the temptation to stay in Egypt and to follow Egypt. And in fact, he led the people out of Egypt. But the only way he does that is by faith. And the Bible says he endured as seeing him who is invisible. What kept him going? He saw him. He saw him who's invisible. How did he make it, preacher? He saw him. Hey, when you choose, Stephen saw him, didn't he? As the stones were being thrown at Stephen and as they started to pelt his body, he saw him, the Bible says. He saw heaven open and he saw Jesus there. How do you do it, Stephen? How'd you survive that? He saw him. You say, you can't see someone who's invisible. Oh, you can. You can if you have faith. Seeing him who is invisible. He endured. And then the Bible talks about the Passover. Again, one of the most amazing things. And sometimes, every now and then I'll preach about the Passover and, of course, the Lord's Supper. All of that ties together, pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. But the decision that was made to kill that lamb. And if you study it out for the Lord's Supper, or I'm sorry, for the Passover, the Egyptian god Amun-Ra was the theophany of it, if you want to call it that, was the ram or the lamb. And so God says, kill a lamb and put the blood on the door right out there where everybody can see it, and you are killing the Egyptian's god. Well, you talk about taking a stand. But what happened? He did it. Through faith, he kept the Passover. And the sprinkling of blood. Now again, Christianity today, honestly, I am convinced that so many people, if they had to put the blood on the outside of the door, wow. You talk about tough. But that's what we're supposed to do, folks. How do you do it? You do it because you saw him who's invisible. That's how you do it. How do you take that kind of stand? I mean, seriously, we're at a place, really, in America and in so much of Christianity, we're so afraid of what the world's going to think about us. We're so afraid of how they're going to make fun of it. We're so afraid that they might make fun of us. They might make fun of us having the Lord's Supper. They might make fun of us having church. They might make fun of us having an altar call. They might just make fun of us because we preach and yell and holler and scream and snort and stomp and that we run buses. And they might make fun of what we did. And they might make fun of how we dress. And they might make fun of our soul winning. And they might make fun of our tent. And they might make fun of our RU program. And they might make fun of how we have fun in church. And we're not out doing all the other things. They might mock those kinds of things. And so many Christians are afraid that people make fun of them. But Moses put the blood on the outside where everybody could see it. Hey, we'll kill the lamb, just like God said to do. And the Egyptians, that's a slap in their face. How'd he do it? Well, he saw him. He saw him who is invisible. It's very clear in the scripture. And then by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. That's an amazing thing. Because the Egyptians are behind them. Their swords are glistening in the sun. And I mean, they are coming to kill them. And the Red Sea parts and God's people go through on dry ground. How do they do that? They do it because they saw him who's invisible. Moses saw him who's invisible. And I believe the key to by faith over and over in the scripture and the key to you living by faith in your life is seeing him who is invisible. The key to making the right choices in our lives is seeing him who is invisible. The key to forsaking Egypt is seeing him who is invisible. The key to enduring when trials come. The key to standing when other people are wilting is seeing him who is invisible. The key to the nine plagues and the Passover. The key to it all is seeing him. Can you imagine being Moses? Brother James, honestly, can you imagine? Let my people go, he said to Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the world. But you have to understand, He saw the one that was more powerful than him. Amen. How am I going to stand up to that? You're going to stand up to it because you've stood with him. Day after day, night after night, the key to doing anything for God is to see him who is invisible. The key to the Red Sea and crossing over. We all make it sound like, oh, you know, bless God, I'd sure like to have crossed over. You'd have been terrified. Let's just be real honest. Seriously. Okay, we saw Niagara Falls, and that's pretty amazing, really. The Horseshoe Falls. We stood right there, and you look at it. You talk about a lot of power. I want you to try to imagine backward falls on both sides of you. Instead of falls, we call those ups. Amen. And there it goes, and it's on both sides of you, and it's a wall of water on both sides. And we all have this, somehow we have this idea, oh, that was so easy. I'm going to tell you something. The man who held out the rod and the man who said, that's where we're going, that man saw him who's invisible, and that's how those people went through on dry ground. We have a lot of Christians, honestly, we have this idea that somehow, you know, this is also, it seems easy when a person has faith. And seeing him who is invisible, that's how you do great things for God. Because anything we do, it's if you're going to do it for God, it's going to take great faith. And the only way is to see him who is invisible. For years, you know, I've preached about it, I've taught about it, I've stood for it, and you know, honestly, this week at the fair, that's what our tent was all about. That's why it's set up, it's so people can see him who's invisible. That's what it's all about. It's introducing people to Jesus. You say, yeah, but they're not really going to see him. Oh, they're going to see him if they open eyes of faith. You know, it's our job simply to tell them and simply to say, here's what it is. Jesus said this, and he died on a cross. He paid for your sin. Now, by faith, open your eyes. By faith, and call upon him to save you. By faith, seeing him who's invisible. That's what it's all about. It's all about, that's why we go to the fair. That's why we put up with all that junk. That's why we put up with all the nudity and all the music and all the garbage that goes on. That's the only reason we do this. The only reason that we're there. The only reason we spend several thousand dollars, I believe, to put the thing is so that people can see Jesus. They're not going to see him with their eyes. And yet that's what our bus ministry is all about, $20,000+ a year. That's what our vacation Bible school is about, $3,000 to $4,000 a year. That's what our Sunday school program's about. That's what our property is here for. That's why we're here. That's why we have new hymnals. They're all singing the praise of Jesus and pointing people to one who they can see who is invisible. But it's all about faith. That's what Berean Baptist Academy is all about. It's all about him. It's all about Jesus. And by far, the best way to see him is by faith. Simply by faith. And great things will happen as we see him by faith. Look, if you will, at 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18. This is all introduction. The message is short. The introduction is pretty preachy. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Now watch this. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Why? Because they're all by faith. And what we do and what we look forward to, and the ladies sang about heaven. They've never been to heaven. They've never seen heaven. Oh, it's except through the eyes of faith. Amen. And those things, all the temporal stuff. Now, you and I can choose the temporal stuff. You know, we can have the Berean Baptist swimming pool party someday. Now, ladies, wear modest bikinis. Idiots. You say, I'm going to tell. tell. You just tell. That's just fine. Because it is an embarrassment to the cause of Christ. Amen. It's all temporal. It's just temporal. Just temporal. Hey, you know, hey, we got to see our pastor in his swimming trunks. Idiots. I wasn't going to get on that, but the Holy Spirit led me. Look, but how do you avoid that kind of stuff? How do you get out of that? You got to see him. You just have to. I'm not saying other people don't. I'm just saying, listen to me. To take a stand for God. Why are you not drinking liquor? Why don't we have wine in the cups? I hope we do have grape juice in the cups this week. Why is it that we don't have, alcohol? Why is it that we don't have go-go dancers up here? Why don't we have a band and a praise team and all those kind of things that are becoming very popular today? Why, preacher, are you such a redneck nut? I've seen him. I've seen him who's invisible through the eyes of faith. And I want to please him more than anything in this world. And I don't care what everybody else is doing. You give me Kathy Morin out there calling people and saying, hey, we got a prize we want to give to you. I know what the prize is. She wants people to see him who's invisible. There's nothing more important going on than letting people know that there's someone who's invisible, someone who loves them, someone who will comfort them, someone who will care for them, someone who will bless them beyond anything they can imagine. By faith, great, great things that are not temporal, they're eternal. Amen? We sing, let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is He. The Lord of Lords Supreme. John said this. He said, our hands have touched him. John said, our eyes beheld him. But you know, tonight I can't say that. I've never touched him. My eyes have never beheld him physically. And yet, in so many amazing ways, the best life I think I have because I've seen him who is invisible. Let me just show you the ways that we see him. I have three ways that we can see him who is invisible, three ways that the Bible tells us about. The number one way is we see him in the Lord's Supper. Why do you think God told us this do? I mean, honestly, I've watched people. In fact, before I got saved, I remember and thank God for a Wesleyan preacher that told the truth. Amen. I mean, I remember the preacher. It was a big teen group, and the only reason I went to the church, the only reason I was involved in that teen group was because of the pretty girls. I was a dirt bag. I had absolutely no business being there. By the way, that happens everywhere. I mean, there's guys and people that are trying to corrupt our young people all the time. That was me. But oh, thank God for him. And thank God for somebody telling the truth. And I remember when they had the Lord's Supper, some of my buddies, we were sitting there cussing and swearing and all kinds. I mean, we were wicked. And the guy said, look, if you're not saved, you've not trusted Christ as your Savior, do not take the Lord's Supper. And I remember sitting there thinking, I know I'm not saved. And he said, in fact, all those that are saved and want to take the Lord's Supper, you come over in this section. And I watched them all go over there. And there I was. I'm talking about guys that were just cussing and swearing with me, talking dirty, pointing out girls and being rude and nasty. They went over there. And I watched them all take the Lord's Supper. And I sat alone, lost. But I knew. And I knew there was no question about this. I knew that if I had not received Jesus Christ as my Savior, there was no way in this world I could take the Lord's Supper. Now, you know what? If you're not saved, you should not take the Lord's Supper. And if you're not right with God, the Bible says, let a man examine himself. If you're not right with God, you should not take the Lord's Supper. And yet we have a problem because God says, do it. You say, I have no option. I just have to pass on it. No, you have to get right with God. And then take the Lord's Supper. That is the only option. The Bible says that in the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians 11, let's turn there real quick. I'm going to go real fast now. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 25, and we'll read this passage a little bit later on, or we'll read before. But he said, after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. And he said in verse 26, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, what's he say? Ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Ye do show. Verse 27 says, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the what? Body and blood of the Lord. And verse 29, it says, he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. The Lord's Supper, we see him by faith in the Lord's Supper. It is a picture of Jesus Christ. At the last, really, really most funerals anymore, they have slideshows of the person who has died. And you'll watch the slideshows, and people will sometimes put music to them and different things, and the slideshow will go. And usually, if they prepare the slideshow and put time into it, which is difficult, obviously, for a funeral where you're not expecting the person to die or anything, they'll try to put it together, and they'll start when they're young, and then they'll progress in the slideshow. I know Tim does that at our graduations and all of that, and so, you know, here they are when they're younger, and it's really interesting to watch. It's really interesting to as people are watching. Well, I never saw them like that. Well, I never knew that. I never knew they did that. I didn't realize they did that. It's a picture. You know, the Lord's Supper is a picture so we can see Jesus like that. It's a picture of him dying on a cross to pay for our sins. It is us seeing him who is invisible to change our lives. It's seeing a picture. If you can imagine the slideshow, and it starts off with what we call Christmas, and Jesus is born, and we see him as a boy, and he's doing right, and he's in school, and he's doing right, and he's not lying, and he's not cheating, and he's not stealing, and he just keeps doing right as a child, and he grows up, and he keeps doing right, and we see him then with his disciples, and he's doing great miracles, but then we see all of a sudden the slide comes up, and he's hanging on a cross. And God says, pause. Pause. And look, this do in remembrance of me. Ye do show. It's a picture of him. The Lord's Supper, remember him like that. Remember, he was born of a virgin. He lived a perfect life. He's crucified, buried, risen. He's coming again. In just a few minutes, we'll see him as he is. We'll see him who is invisible as we observe the Lord's Supper. With eyes of faith, we will see him who is invisible. But then secondly, we see him in the Scriptures. Not only do we see him in the Lord's Supper, but we see him in the Scriptures in John 20 and verse 30 and several verses. John chapter 20 and verse 30. The Bible says, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Can you imagine? All the things he did that were not written. All the things he did that were not written. But he says this, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Written so we can believe. Written all about him. Everything is about him. Hey, you want to know Jesus tonight? Read the book. You want to know more about him tonight? Read your Bible. You want to know him better tonight? Know your Bible. You want to see him tonight? Read your Bible. John 5:39, search the Scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And we talk about, I want to be a better Christian. I want to take a stand for the Lord. Read your Bible. Because you'll see him who's invisible. It's in every page. It's on every page. It's all about him. Study it, carry it, and see him who is invisible. I wrote down, and there are so many different ways to look at Jesus in his book, the Bible. There are so many ways and so many different places. I copied Brother Hiles, what he had written one time. In Genesis, he's the promised seed. In Exodus, he's a Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he's a scapegoat. In Numbers, he's a brazen serpent. In Deuteronomy, he's our Lord is a great lawgiver. In Joshua, he's the prophet, priest, and king. In Judges, he's the judge of all the universe. In Ruth, he's a kinsman redeemer. In Samuel, he's the anointer of kings. In Kings, he is the king of kings. In Chronicles, he's the greatest story. In Ezra, he's a rebuilder of the temple. In Nehemiah, he's the rebuilder of the wall. In Esther, he's the savior of the Jews. In Job, he's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. In Psalms, he's the song of the ages. In Proverbs, he's the truth. In Ecclesiastes, he's a great preacher. In the Song of Solomon, he's a wonderful lover. In Isaiah, he's wonderful counselor, the almighty God, the everlasting father, and the prince of peace. In Jeremiah, he's a weeping prophet. In Lamentations, he's a street preacher. In Ezekiel, he's a rebuilder of God's temple. In Daniel, he's a stone cut out without hands, coming again to break in pieces the kingdoms of this world and establish a kingdom that will cover the earth with the knowledge of God. In Hosea, he's a firm but forgiving lover. In the minor prophets, he's the one coming to Bethlehem of Judah. In Matthew, he's the king of kings. In Mark, he's a suffering servant. In Luke, he's the son of man. In John, he's the son of God. In Acts, he's the power of the church. In Romans, he's the power of the gospel. In Corinthians, he's a restorer of the carnal nature. In Galatians, he's a rent veil. In Ephesians, he's a heavenly one. In Philippians, he's our sufficiency. In Colossians, he's a fulfiller of the law. In Thessalonians, he's our coming Savior. In Timothy, he's our great appearing God. In Titus, he's a blessed hope. In Philemon, he's the forgiver of all the wayward slaves. In Hebrews, he's the best of all. In James, he's our wisdom. In Peter, he's the foundation of our salvation. In the epistles of John, he's our assurance. In Jude, he's the one who keeps us from falling. And in Revelation, he's the one saddled on a white horse who will come back and establish his kingdom on earth. He's in every book of the Bible. He's on every page of the Bible. Study the tabernacle. It's all about Jesus. Study the plagues. Study what God did to Egypt. Study the children of Israel in the wilderness. Study the temple. Study the ark. Study the holy place. The holy of holies. He's all over it. I just want to know him better. Read your Bible. Study your Bible. Memorize your Bible. Look into the pages of your Bible. You want to know him better. You want to get closer to him. We say it. It sounds good. But the truth of the matter is, you don't see him unless you see him in the scriptures. I still have to this day Brenda's 16-year-old picture. I have it. I had it when we met August 20th, 1974. She gave me that picture. She gave me that picture, and I kept that picture and stared at it every day. I looked at that picture. Sometimes, I won't tell you when during the day in school, I would pull that picture out, and I looked at that picture. She was 16, and I looked at her picture over and over and over and over. You say you want to know Jesus? How many Bibles do you have? Seeing him who's invisible. Here's how you see him. Right here. Get your Bible. He's on every page. He's in every book. I could go through it again and again. We could all have our own ways to describe him in every book of the Bible. Do you understand what I'm saying? And just stare at it. We see him in the Lord's Supper. We see him in the scriptures. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. Hey, do you want to see him? Oh, I just can't wait to go to heaven. I'm talking about today. In just a few minutes, you can see him. as we take the Lord's Supper, like a snapshot of Jesus. You can open the scriptures day after day, start off in the morning, later on in the day, end the day, looking at Jesus in the scriptures. We see him in the Lord's Supper. Number two, we see him in the scriptures. And then the last thing, number three, we see him in his saints. What? Oh, yeah. 1 John 4, verse 17. 1 John 4, verse 17. Stay with me now. I'm about done. 1 John 4, 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because, what? As he is, so are we in this world. Do you know the closest thing I can come to a physical sighting of Jesus is I look down at Kathy Morin. I look over at Phyllis White. I look over here at Daryl White. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's the closest thing I can come to a physical sighting of Jesus. Stay with me now. You say, oh, well, they're sinners. Oh, do I know that? No. But now wait a minute, though. As he is, so are we in this world. He's the light of the world. What did he say about us? Ye are lights in this world. Oh, yeah. Do you realize that we are gonna get to see a snapshot of Jesus in just a few minutes? Are you listening? It's almost like Brother Tim put together a slideshow in just a few minutes. And as long as there actually is juice in that tray. That happened the last time. We opened up a tray and there was no juice. All the little cups were there and they were all empty. It was hilarious. But do you understand? I mean, sir, we are going to get, but do you realize? And I was thinking about this. I was thinking of the slideshow that I saw of Pat Hite. And there were things on there. You know, there were some things that I'm not necessarily for. but it was fun to watch and to see her life. Do you realize how many people have absolutely no idea about Pat Hite's life? You know why? Because they never saw that slideshow. Now, do you realize, honestly, think about this. That guy that you work with in the factory, he doesn't get to take the Lord's Supper with us tonight. He doesn't get to see the slideshow of Jesus. He doesn't, maybe doesn't even own a Bible. So he doesn't get to see Jesus like you and I can. Oh, you're so hard on him because he sins. You're so hard on that guy because he talks about going out and getting a drink of liquor. And you get hard on that. Oh, you know, he goes out and smokes and he cusses sometimes. And I know he's got dirty magazines in his drawer. Yeah, and we're so hard. But that they don't see Jesus like we see Jesus. Well, then, preacher, how can they? Closest thing they got is you. It's the closest thing they have. Because in the world, they're not going to see the Lord's Supper. And in our world, it's getting farther and farther from that. In the world, they're not going to see the Scriptures. Your place of work, your family, your neighbors, they're going to have to see Jesus in you, right? They're going to have to see him who is invisible in you. Oh, we're not Jesus. We know that. I said that a while ago, but I know Kathy's not Jesus, and I know Phyllis isn't Jesus, and I know Daryl's not Jesus. But wait a minute. Look at 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18. Isn't this a wonderful, you know, this is such a wonderful Bible that we have here, and it tells us all we need. You say, well, I wish it were just all easy and lined out. That's why the Bible says study. He wants us to put a little effort into it. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, what's it say? Are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. We're changed into the same image of Jesus. And what do? We reflect him. Closest thing they got. Hey, you know what? Don't be so hard on your dad, your mom, that they don't go to church. Don't be so hard on that guy that lives next door that cusses and swears and gets drunk every Friday night. Don't be so hard on the homosexual that is taking their stand for their rights and all that that works with you. Hey, wait a minute. They have not seen him who's invisible, and they're not going to take the Lord's Supper with us tonight, and they maybe don't have a Bible to read, and maybe they wouldn't read it, but guess what? You could reflect Jesus to them. Yeah, we're not Jesus, but we can reflect Jesus. John said, my hands touched him, my eyes saw him. But you and I, our hands haven't touched him and our eyes haven't seen him. But seeing him who is invisible, I saw a little widow, Kathy Morin. You forget she's a widow because I've never heard her complain and gripe about it. In fact, we have many widows here. I don't know that I've ever heard one of them complain. I don't even know how you do what you do. I tell our widows how much I admire them. I don't know how they do what they do. I don't know how they smile. Sometimes I don't know how they sing, but I don't understand Kathy Morin. I don't understand. And you know what? I see Jesus. I see Jesus in the soul-winning tent. I see Jesus over here signing to the deaf. I don't understand that. I'm in awe at someone who will learn a language to tell other people how they can see him who's invisible. I see Jesus when I go over to the shepherd's department and I watch the workers work with the shepherd's ministry. Where do you suppose Jesus would be? If he walked on this property, where do you suppose he'd go to? What do you think, folks? He'd go over and he'd visit the Beinecke's Junior Church. And then he'd go over and he'd visit Matt Binder's Junior Church. And then I know he'd run over here. You say, well, he'd come in the auditorium. I don't think so. I think he'd probably, after he visited with the shepherds over there, I think he'd come up in the nursery and he'd do what Steve so often does. He'd pick up every little child. And he'd want to see him. I think he might come in here last. I see Jesus with people that prepare meals for a funeral, a dinner. I see Jesus in our bus ministry. I see Jesus at Vacation Bible School when the Baileys come down out of the bus. It's 90-some degrees in that bus. And every year, at the end of the year, for all these years, 13 years now I've been here, Shirley said, you know, Pastor, I think this is going to be our last year. No, I didn't touch his nail-scarred hands. I never have. I didn't see his pierced brow where the crown of thorns stabbed into his forehead. But I see his image in the workers of this church. I see his reflection in the people that served the funeral dinner the other day. I see his reflection in Louise, who always, Loanna, so many others. And I'm sorry if I'm leaving you out. I don't mean to. Just I see his reflection in the whites when they come. They don't have to. And they clean the office area of the church. I see his reflection in our teen girls when they dress right and people snicker. It takes character to dress right. It takes nothing to take off your clothes. We do it quite naturally. It takes character to look right. Amen. Amen. I see Jesus. I've never touched him. I've never seen the nail scars in his hands. But I see Jesus in our teen boys going out soul winning. I see Jesus in one of our young men out there selling door-to-door price saver cards. And he doesn't have to. Are you listening? He doesn't have to. He just does it. I see Jesus in the Bowmans every Friday night. I watch from my window And there's the Bowmans every Friday night, amen, hoping, praying somebody will come to the RU program because they can introduce them to the one who's invisible, but they can see him. I see Jesus when Ed Tedder in pain is working on our buses, taking a power washer and washing the outside of the bus and going inside the bus and making sure it's clean and being so thrilled to be able to serve God. And he can barely walk. I've watched him take his little cart in the snow and go through snow drifts so that he can get here and take care of our buses. I see Jesus when I see Ray Hollins under a bus working on it. The dirt, the grime, the grease. I see Jesus in our Berean Baptist Academy staff who are underpaid and will always be underpaid. But they love the kids and they give their hearts to them. I've seen Jesus as over and over just this year. I've stood up and I've said, folks, we need X amount of dollars for a project. And you take out your wallet and you put money in. You take out a checkbook and you write, I don't know where the money comes from. I don't understand it. I just know that I see Jesus when people sacrifice and widows put in their last amount and people that don't have it put in their last amount. And this preacher can see him who's invisible. And you don't know what that does for a preacher. Hey, Stephen, how are you going to take the stones that are being thrown at you? How are you going to eventually close your eyes and pass on into eternity? How are you going to do it? And Stephen says, I'll tell you how. There he is. Somebody says, preacher, how do you keep standing? There he is. I see him. I see him in the Lord's Supper. I see him in the scriptures. But I see him in you, his saints. Project, love offering, help someone. How many times somebody's come to me and said, preacher, will you give this to so-and-so? Don't tell them. And how many times I've asked somebody, hey, how'd you happen to come to our church? Well, so-and-so goes there. And I think it's real because I see it in their life. Now these, they don't get the Lord's Supper. They don't have the scripture, but they watch you to get a glimpse of him. I wonder what they see. He who is invisible. Somebody once said, you know, I want to go to the Holy Land so I can walk where Jesus walked. That sounds good, but I've got something better. How about instead of walking where Jesus walked, walk like Jesus walked? How many times have I had a hard week with sorrow and trials, and all of a sudden there's a little note. Sometimes the words are spelled wrong. Sometimes I can tell it's a little child. There's ink blots all over it. But it says something like, preacher, I love you. I'm praying for you. And I see Jesus. Certain Greeks came to Philip. They said, sir, we would see Jesus. Oh, he's invisible. Well, no, we can see him in the Lord's Supper. We could see him in the scriptures. And I hope they can see him in me, his saint. Vacation Bible School, Dr. Christopher T. Mass told me that he went into the 4 and 5 year olds and walked through and was shaking hands with them and everything. And a little boy looked up at him and he said, are you Jesus? And he said that he went down and wept because I hope that little boy can see Jesus in him. Oh, to be like thee. Oh, to be like thee. Blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness. Come in thy fullness. Stamp thine own image deep on my heart. Seeing him who's invisible tonight. We'll get out the slideshow in just a few minutes. I want you to see him. I want you to see him. I want you to take your Bibles throughout the week and open them up and read it and see him. And then look around. Look around at his saints. And then be the best reflection of Jesus you can be. Let's bow our heads, please.